Nyttårssalget er i gang hos Dressmann. Nå får du opp til 70% rabatt på et stort utvalg skjorter, gensere, bukser og mye, mye mer. Opp til 70% rabatt ved kjøp av to eller flere varer. Salget finner du i butikk og på dressmann.com.
En podcast fra Podplay.
We knew we were going to conquer the world.
You knew?
Yeah, we
knew. You felt like this is...
Yeah.
It must have been a good time.
We were going to be better than any other band in the whole world. That's how we felt. And that is why they are one of the biggest bands in the world.
Kopervik, har dere det bra?
This is too easy. I can just say three words and they are cheering. Dave Lights, welcome. Welcome.
Thank you very much.
Are you ready for round two? All right. So, are you ready, Dave?
I'm ready. I'm ready to rock.
I'm
ready to rock.
Yeah, you should be close to the mic.
Okay.
And you get some orange juice there and your glasses. Everything is ready.
Cheers, everyone. Yeah, come on.
He said cheers. So I'll say we score.
Gammal Maiden med Torkil Torsvik.
Dave Lights. Welcome to Gammal Maiden.
Welcome, everybody.
Okay, I'm maybe 12 years old. I'm reading through the, what you call it, the sleeve inside.
The sleeve of the album.
Yeah, Live After Death. Dave Lights. On Lights. Do you, your name, is it actually Lights, or is that like a...
No. it's Beazley, B-E-A-Z-L-E-Y.
Okay.
Yeah. But I told everybody I was Dave Lights back in the day.
It's a huge honor having you here in Norway, in Kopervik, the best place in the world, every year on this, in February. I think we all are honored just being in the same room as a guy that's mentioned inside the sleeve on the Maiden album. But that's just who we are, because we grew up with this. But how are you right now, Dave?
I'm good. I'm doing really well. Yeah. Love being here. It's a privilege for me too.
That's nice to hear. And your trip up, where do you live right now?
I live in Chester, which is just outside of Manchester. And it is the only place with a complete Roman wall all the way round. Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah.
And how was your trip to Norway?
It was a nightmare.
What happened there?
I left Manchester and got to Oslo. And I was supposed to do a connecting flight from Oslo to here. And they told me the wrong way. So I went to somewhere else. And then they sent me back to where I thought I was supposed to be. And I missed the plane by 2 minutes. So then I got a plane to Bergen. Which then, when I arrived, which is where I thought this was going to happen, they rang me and said, no, you're supposed to be here. You have another flight in 2 hours to get here. So I got here, and then I dropped my bags at the hotel. I came to the venue to look at the lights. Then I went back to the hotel and went to bed. and then got up at 5:30 because of the time difference. It was a nightmare, but I'm glad to be here.
Jet lag. The only man in the world jet lagged from England to Norway. But normally I ask every guest, can you remember the first time you heard Iron Maiden? And some guests brag about, yeah, that was in 1979. Yeah, before the first album. Yeah. Can you remember, Dave, the first time you heard Iron Maiden?
Yes, it was in a vicarage, which is a church house that the priests live in. The church had been bombed in the war, and I was living there with two of my friends, and Lorraine, who was Steve's first wife, and my first wife, Kim, went to the same school together. So Lorraine asked... No, Kim... No, just hang on. Blah, blah, blah. Lorraine asked Kim if her new boyfriend, Steve Harris, could come and rehearse at the house, and I said yes. So that was with the original band, which was Paul Day, David, Terry, Steve, and Ron Rebel.
Yeah. Oh, wow. So a lot of my guests and a lot of people sitting here, we tell our friends, our wives, this band is so important to me. But you were there when the semen actually hit the egg. you were there when the band.
That's a nice way of putting it.
you were there in that moment where this fantastic band was just a cell of semen, or what you call it, where you come from.
Spunk.
Spunk. And what did you do in those times?
Well, first of all, they would come and rehearse at the place, and you could hear them rehearsing. It was like, drive you mad. It was constant, blah, 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 blah. And then about 1 year of rehearsing, Steve said to me, okay, we have some pub gigs. Would you like to be a roadie? So I said, yes, I will make some light boxes up for you. So basically in this vicarage, there was, I don't know if you have the same word, we have window boxes for flowers. So I emptied all the dirt out. Mm-hmm. Painted them up and then put light bulbs into the coloured light bulbs. You can get like bulbs with colour on them.
Yeah.
So I put coloured light bulbs in red, blue, green, yellow, white.
Okay.
And then we use a thing called bell wire. I don't know if you have the same thing here. It's when you ring the bell, it's very thin wire.
Yeah.
That was what I used.
Maybe green or blue or something with a stripe
it's very
on.
Thin. Yeah. And then for the drums, I had two little lights, which had the same thing in them—a red and a blue—and basically used to use light switches, normal light switches.
Like the like old, in, good you know, old light yeah. switches, yes.
And then I would use them. I would use them to do the lights.
Mm-hmm. That's crazy.
Yeah.
And that was the show.
And like, that was the show. And then
some blue and some red.
Yeah, yeah. Some red, blue, green, white. And then for the backdrop, it was made from, well, I made the backdrop, but the bulbs around it to make them chase. In the old days, in a washing machine, you used to get a tumbler. that had metal on them and a little bit cut out.
Yeah.
So when you switched on the electric, it would turn round red, blue, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Wow.
So that would make the bulbs go round.
It's
then for the mouth, for the mask, they had a I had a paper mache.
Yeah.
We had different.
You have to think sorry, about we the had microphone. Different, yeah.
Sorry, guys. We had.
Are we talking about the first Eddie here?
Like, yes, we are.
Yeah. Okay.
This is the first Eddie.
The Holy Grail. Yeah. Okay.
So basically, I had the mask, and I had a fish tank pump inside. And if anybody has got fish, you get very thin tube for the bubbles. I got that. That came from a small tin with a bit of fish tank stuff in the top.
Okay.
Sealed off. And then the bottom, where it unscrews with a little bit, there was another bit of fish tank.
Mm-hmm.
And then it came down to the mouth on a T-piece like this,
yeah,
which then went round to the mouth, which was cut out. And then in the song, Iron Maiden's going to get you black, 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 black.
Okay.
See the blood flow. It would go da 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 da. And now we press the button and the bulbs would start to go round and the fish tank pump would go out of its mouth.
The blood.
Or yeah. it wasn't blood. Sometimes it was emulsion paint,
okay. Red.
Sometimes it was food dye with water. just different combinations that worked.
Ah.
So that was the first Eddie mask.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Inventive. We have in Norway, Reodor Felgen. We have Leonardo da Vinci, and we have Dave Lights, ladies and gentlemen.
It's been a gas.
It's still an honor to be in the same room, and we're so close.
It's cozy.
I can feel the 70s here. What year did you do this?
This was 1974, 75.
Oh my God! So you knew Steve when he played in Gypsy's Kiss band?
Gypsy's Kiss was probably 2 years before I met Steve the first time. I promoted a gig in a church hall,
mm-hmm.
And there was lots of different bands on, and I was with a band. I was working with a band, and the church, and Steve came on and played there, and that was the first time that I'd seen Steve. And then after that, was with Lorraine. Yeah, so.
Oh, this is crazy! But can you remember how you reacted? How did when they took the name Iron Maiden and you heard the first Iron Maiden song? Was what kind of song was it, and how did you feel about that song?
It was completely different from anything that I had heard before. Yeah, it was crazy. It was good. I wasn't really into rock music then. I was more into Genesis, Led Zeppelin, Deep Purple, other bands. But yeah, it became obvious that this band was going to be mega. And we always knew.
You didn't like rock music, but you liked Led Zeppelin. So yeah.
Well, I did like rock.
Oh, but do you remember the song? Like, what was the first song you could hear from the rehearsals with Maiden?
That one. Iron Maiden.
Iron Maiden, the song Iron Maiden.
Yeah, yeah. And then there was Rough Child and Prowler. I'm trying to think of the others. There's quite a few. Oh, and they used to do cover songs as well back then because they never had such a big amount of songs of their own.
Mm-hmm. So let's put this in perspective. 75 to 85. In 10 years, you go from the light bulb using the thing from your garden stuff. Yeah. And 10 years later, you're in Long Beach Arena doing the fucking slavery tour.
Yeah.
Ah! That's crazy. 10 years. And can is it possible to describe that journey?
from where I got to there?
Let's just begin with the 70s, because they were clubbing then. And but you had to evolve with the lights and everything. What did you do to make a better show and make Maiden the best band in the world?
In 1980, they got the deal with EMI. And it was the biggest deal that EMI had done. It was £300,000 deal. Mm. And basically, that's where they saw the Derek Riggs artwork as well, and chose Derek to continue to do the album covers. We then got the opportunity, I think I've got this right, to tour with Kiss in Europe. Yeah. So we toured with Europe with Kiss, which was a good eye-opener because of the hydraulics and the special effects. It really took an impact on me.
Mm-hmm.
We came back from that, and a little while after that, we did Judas Priest. We supported Judas Priest which around England, which was fantastic.
They had British Lion. No, the British Steel out on the same day as the first Maiden album, and then Maiden was supporting.
Yes.
Ah, yeah. Okay.
So we supported them, and we did all of England and everywhere. And then after that, I'm trying to think what happened.
But in the late 70s. How many bands had like the rig you had, because you drove around in a truck or something with all these lights and everything?
The Green Goddess.
The Green Goddess? Explain, describe the
Green
Goddess.
The Green Goddess was an old van or truck, big truck, and the back had a sliding door. And then there was a door at the side, and then at the front there was two doors. And here, it slid up,
mm-hmm.
and we put a wall in, and we had bunks, 1, 2, 3 bunks.
Okay.
And then the bit that went over the cab, you could sleep 4 people. So that's what we did.
with windows and air conditioning and everything.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
Oh, my God. So you slept in there?
Yeah, we slept in there. We toured all around. I remember when we played up north somewhere, we got to the venue and we got there a day early, and we were all sleeping in the van, in the truck.
Mm-hmm.
And when we woke up, we had sleeping bags, and there was ice all over the sleeping bags. It was so cold, a bit like Norway. So we were shivering. Yeah.
Oh my God. But I guess in the 70s, a lot of venues had these, the fantastic speakers we have here in Kopervik. you came to a place with the speakers and everything, but I read somewhere that Maiden had all the gear with them.
We had all our own stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
We took our own PA and monitors. Yeah, that all went into the back of the Green Goddess.
The Green Goddess. And that was quite special, I guess, in that time.
Because a lot of bands weren't doing that. They didn't have the equipment. We were one of the only bands touring pubs and clubs and stuff like that. And
mm-hmm.
I think that's what made them popular,
because of
the show.
So what you're actually saying is that your job was quite important.
Fairly important, I think.
And for me and a lot of people in this room, Eddie, just the face of Eddie, just a mascot that we love. I've seen a lot of pictures where you do that with your face. You did it now where you Yeah, you gape or what you call it? You
made a face.
You open your make the Eddie face. There it is. Why do you do that?
Because that's what we used to do.
Okay.
Yeah, me and Steve would see one another, and we would make that face at one another. That.
Okay. Because I'm going to talk with Dave Lights tonight, so I googled Dave Lights and it popped up maybe 6-7 pictures with you doing that. the huge grin. So that was like a thing you did in
Yes, that's a thing we did, yeah.
Can you describe like the feeling of being in that gang? Like it must have been
we knew we were gonna conquer the world.
You knew?
Yeah, we
you
knew.
Felt like this We've, is it must have been
time. We were going to be better than any other band in the whole world. That's how we felt. And that is why they are one of the biggest bands in the world.
I got tears in my eyes now, but... In the same time, I think the world had Kiss, for example.
Yeah.
So how could you actually think that we're going to be bigger than those guys?
We just knew.
You felt like the energy, because if you hear the Prowler song in the first album, it's like, oh yes, now we're talking. So
yeah, we just knew we were going to be massive.
Yeah.
It was here.
And what about Eddie? How did the idea of having a face on stage on every cover and everything, how did that emerge?
You have to let me think for a minute here.
That's okay.
When we did... it's difficult. When we did Number of the Beast in America... It did not go down well because of the Bible Belt, the religious people.
Yeah.
So basically, the popularity dropped a little. Mm-hmm. So we thought, how could we change that? So basically, when we did Peace of Mind, which was the brain being taken out of Eddie.
Yeah.
That was a bit like saying to them, okay, we've given him a lobotomy. It's all okay now. And it was, because then we carried on with that tour.
Yeah, but
And on stage in England, we had... You must have seen the photographs of where Steve lives with the head. On the tour, we had that head and it would come up behind the drum kit, but yeah. We also had a brain that came in from underneath, behind, yeah. As if it was popping out of the head, and that all lit up as well and done stuff.
Yeah. But it started with like a mask that didn't look like the Eddie we know today, and I was searching for the moment where the semen hit the egg on the Eddie idea.
Right.
When did that start? Like having a face in the back of the... on the stage with the blood and everything. Was that you?
Yes.
Or it was you?
Yes.
So you are the father. You are Eddie's father, aren't
I'm
you?
I'm afraid so.
Shit! I'm afraid so. So that's why you do the... you're trying to look like him. before we have to... Yeah, because there's some concert. I have to remember to ask this when I got it in my head. The Eddie on stage on the Slavery tour, when I watched Live After Death the first time.
Right.
I didn't believe that it was possible for Eddie to walk in there and do like this, shaking His hands.
Is this the one where it opens at the back?
No, it's not the one behind the sarcophagus or what it's called. It's the walking Eddie.
Oh, the walk
he's
on Eddie.
He's so alive and kicking. Like, how do they do that? I thought, and I still do. How did you come up with the walking Eddie on the slavery tour?
In the early days. We were using a company called Meteorites. Meteorites told me that it was at Earl's Court, there was a big show with lots of theatrical companies that were doing lots of stuff. And as I walked through the door, straight in, there was a man, I can't remember his name right now, but he did the big puppets for one of the theatre shows.
Okay.
So I spoke to him and said, oh, how did you do this? So he told me, he said that they put them on stilts for decorating. I think you know what they are. So I said, oh, okay, I would like you to do me a walk on Eddie with the stilt. So he built that for us.
Okay.
And my cousin, Dave, he...
Your cousin Dave?
My cousin Dave.
Okay.
he was the walk on Eddie. He used to.
Wow.
So that's how that happened.
But the arms and everything.
They used to just be on springs. Uh-huh. On little springs. Like
springs?
Little spring for.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. And it was just.
But the guy inside, Dave.
Cousin Dave.
he must be a fit guy because his balance must be really good.
Yeah. He's really big. He looks a bit like Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So...
Because moving that thing around in that tempo, it was really
you
quick.
You had to have it strapped on. So you... How did you do it?
And
he put on the bottom bits and then braces to hold it up.
Yeah.
Then they put on the boots and then they put the top over him, which he then had strapped to him as well.
Wow.
And then the head would all do its thing.
So he was a strong guy.
Yeah, he was an ex Hell's Angel. Who is now a Jehovah's Witness, believe it or not.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So nice. You should say hello to Dave from us.
I saw him recently at my mum's funeral. So,
okay.
Yeah, it was...
Cheers for cousin Dave! Yeah.
And I'm sorry for your loss there.
No, it's okay. My mum was a nightmare. She was an evil witch, I can assure you.
Oh, my
dear. Aren't they all...
Cheers, buddy.
Cheers. Dave Lights, mine damer og herrer. Have you considered stand-up comedy?
No. My friend Pyro Pete does. Pyro Pete was the guy that did all the pyrotechnics on all the big shows.
Yeah.
Yeah. He also's got a Twitch where he blew himself up. And when you're on tour... for 14 months he does that, everybody does that, so everybody would be twitching.
But cousin Dave, we're on a tour here, it's over a year or something, 300 and something concerts on the slavery tour. Does he travel with Maiden just to do that?
Yes, he did.
Just to do that?
Yeah.
That one job.
And he also helped when we were setting up everything. He would help setting up all the lighting stuff.
And okay.
We all had many jobs.
So he was kind of a roadie and he was Eddie?
Yes.
My God, the best job in the world.
Oh, God, yes, I think so. I'm glad I didn't have to do it.
But... can you describe on this tour, because I think it's the biggest tour Maiden have done, a normal day in your life on the slavery tour? How was it?
Well, we didn't get many days off, put it that way. We would do six shows, back to back. And then generally on the seventh day, we would do maybe a 1,000-mile drive to the next place. So we never really got a day off.
Okay.
Yeah. And
and you were, of course, in the same green car? As
No. These were American tour buses, yeah. But I shouldn't really tell you this, but I will. Because we had two buses with 24 crew on them, we would all drop acid. And also, we would eat a tiny little piece of dope. Because when you do that, everything goes moo. You go, so we we would be going through the Rocky Mountains into Canada, and it would be snow everywhere. And then we would say to the bus driver, we would say, on the American buses, the door opens this way. So what you would do is you would do a thing called boot skiing, which you would jump out onto the ice and ski along, which was fantastic. The problem was...
While on acid.
The problem was you couldn't get back in, so you had to get one of the crew to grab you and pull you back in. And the wheel was literally there, right behind you.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And then other times, we would get the bus to stop, and we would all get off and go and run into the snow that's this deep and just lay there. Having a good time.
Oh, my God.
And all the fir trees with all the snow, they all had tiny little red bulbs on them. It was beautiful. It really was. So that's generally
that's
what we
did. That's the best explanation of staying through the tour life I've ever heard. Acid. That did.
Yeah, and also, what we would do is on the inside of the bus, it would be ice. Mm-hmm. So we would squirt our face with water and then stick our face on it, crystallize everywhere. And then you couldn't get it off. So one of the crew would spray it so you could come off. But also, every time we did this, there was always two people that were straight that didn't take it, just in case someone had a bad time and we could talk them down. And we all took turns to do this.
Wow. And
what do you
I read.
Know now?
What?
What do you want to know now? I don't know.
There's so many questions here, but I read somewhere that you stayed on this train, this crazy train until 86, 87, and then you jumped off. And I guess it. Why did you jump off that crazy Ozzy Osbourne train?
It's very personal. It's not... it's an hard one to say. Right, okay, I should say it. Probably Steve's not going to enjoy this if he hears it. But there you go, fuck it.
We're talking Norwegian, so he won't understand this.
Okay, good.
Yeah. We're in Norway now.
Right, okay. So basically, when we finished the major 14-month tour, I got divorced from my wife. Okay. So then I came back to England, and I wanted to buy a house. So Steve said, okay, what we'll do... I also had got 2 points on the record from Rod Smallwood because I've designed the idea and the concept. Mm-hmm. So Steve said, okay, give up your 2 points. And when we go on... We had a year off. When we go on to Somewhere in Time, Andy Taylor will come, who was management. He did all the finance, him and Rod Smallwood. They would come to America and he would sign it over to me. Well, every time he was supposed to come, it never happened.
Okay.
Then my mum rang me and said that the house, which was just down the road from Shearing Hall where Steve lived, the house flooded. My house got flooded. And I'd spent all my money from the previous tour on doing it up. So I lost the plot, basically, because they were supposed to, Vic Vella, who looked after Steve, was supposed to keep an eye on it. Mm. So then I got spiked with acid and went a bit crazy at a hotel. I threw a chair over the balcony. I wanted to do the TV, but it was bolted to the floor. So I just bent it over. It was bent over on the floor and I kicked it in. But the chair went over and went into someone's car. And my friend, the police arrived, and my friend Mark Costura, because he knew I was out of my face, he went to jail for me, which was a good thing to do, I think. Yeah.
Sounds like a terrible time for you. What can you explain the points we were talking about? The points?
The reason being is that they never signed the house over to me.
Okay.
Which was supposed to be my house because I gave up my 2 points. So then a few weeks later, I went in, the tour manager, who was Tony Wiggins, he asked me to go and see him. I went to see him and he said, you have the sack. No, he didn't say you have the sack. That's not right. He said, you have to go home because you are undermining the management, whatever the fuck that means. And yes, then I was sent home. I went home and went to my house and it was completely destroyed. All the furniture, everything was all my T-shirts were crap, everything was gone. I went to see Andy Taylor at the management in their office and he said that obviously I'd got the sack. And I said, well, what about all the money and stuff that I had put into it? And basically they gave me a £30,000 payoff to say that was, you know, for whatever reason. And then like an idiot, I moved to America.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh my God. So how did you get up from that? It sounds like terrible times. What did you do after everything happened?
I went home and a guy called Roy Bennett, who I met, we were supporting Scorpions. He was the lighting director of Scorpions. He rang me and said, I would like you to come and do Prince with me. Can you look after 27, I think, full-sized neon lights, look after the backdrops.
Prince?
Yeah, Prince, yeah.
Prince's
lighting guy.
Yeah, called, okay.
Yeah. And we will pay you the same money as you get paid for Iron Maiden. So I said yes. So when I went to see Andy, I said to him, I want to keep the house. I can pay for it. And he said, no. I said, I've got Prince. And they said, no, you still can't have it. So then I went and worked for Prince and I did all of England and Europe. Then we went to America and we were supposed to continue the tour. First of all, we went to Paisley Park, which is where Prince rehearsals and everything. Mm. And we set the whole show up in Paisley Park and we were there for 10 days. And that was it. And then after that, me and some friends, we bought a Cadillac, an old Cadillac. So in between them doing the show, we were fixing the Cadillac up. Mm. And then after it all finished, my friend was driving to California and I had bought some property in Portland, Oregon.
Okay.
So that's how that happened. Yeah.
And you're still doing lights because you're going to do the lights on Maidenheads tonight.
Yeah, and it is my privilege to be here to do that. Yes.
That's so crazy. I sat in the back seat. The singer in Maidenheads was driving here today.
Okay.
And I sat with the guitar player, and it just dawned on him that, oh my God, Dave Lights are doing the lights on us tonight. Oh my God, that's huge. So maybe it's going to pee his pants tonight. I don't know.
But, that would be fantastic.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I'm looking forward to it. Nervous, as I always am. If I was not nervous, it means I do not care. So that's why I'm a little bit... Ooh.
It's so nice. And I've heard the light board and the rig is here downstairs.
It's
the
fucked
best.
Up.
It's the best rig in the world.
It is the worst lighting board I have ever seen in my life. So if it goes wrong, you will have to excuse me. It's not my fault.
Can't be worse than the light switches in 1975.
No, light switches were better. Honestly.
Yeah, I'm looking for... But did you ever work with Maiden again? Did you hear from them again after you... The breakup?
Or yeah, what? They did. They invited when Blaze Bailey... took over.
Yeah.
They asked, Steve rang me and said, I would like to for you to come back and put on the old show. Mm-hmm. And I had to go and meet Rod at the offices. And funny enough, it was on my birthday, okay. Which I thought, this is a sign from God. Okay. As you do, you know. So I went and had it, and Rod Smallwood said to me, he said, oh, I've invited you down, he said, because I want to see if you have any brain cells left in your brain, cheeky bastard. Do you know what I mean? So I designed all this stuff, and for about three months this was, and Dickie Bell, who was the production manager, we had fallen out. Big time. He mm-hmm. said, we haven't told Dickie that you're coming back. So anyhow.
When is Dickie... this like in the X Factor tour or the Virtual 11? What time is this?
This is...
90...
God.
Five or seven?
I'm not sure.
Eight? Virtual 11. Virtual
11,
okay.
Right, okay.
Torgrim Øyre to the rescue, as always.
So they had Blaze Bailey, and at that time I was doing UFO with Michael Schenker,
okay.
How could I forget Pete Way? And we had on drums Simon Wright. So we were in England, and they came down to see the show,
mm-hmm.
and basically. Blaze Bailey was so drunk, he spilled a beer over my lighting desk. So I was not very pleased. But it was okay. I'm a professional. Then weeks later, maybe 3 weeks later, I had a meeting with Dickie Bell at the management. And he said to me, he said, we are not using the lighting company that you want to use. And he threw this piece of paper with... some lighting stuff on it. He said, you will have to use this. And this was 1 week before the tour started.
Okay.
And basically I said, you can fuck off. I said, this is not the project that the band asked me to do.
Okay.
And he said, what am I going to tell the band? I said, I don't fucking care what you tell the band. I'm not doing it. And I will be sending you a bill of £4,000 for wasting my time,
mm-hmm.
which I got.
Yeah.
So that was it.
That was it.
That was it. Fuck them.
Applause. Applause.
Nyttårsvalget er i gang hos Stressmann. Nå får du opp til 70% rabatt på et stort utvalg skjorter, gensere, bukser og mye, mye mer. Opp til 70% rabatt ved kjøp av to eller flere varer. Salget finner du i butikk og på dressmann.com.
Fiken et superenkelt regnskapsprogram for bedrifter. Men visste du at du også kan starte din egen bedrift med Fiken? Gjør som tusenvis av andre og registrer AS og enkeltpersonforetak trygt og enkelt ved å fylle ut skjema på fiken.no. Vi hjelper deg hele veien til ferdig registrert bedrift. Du trenger ikke være kunde av Fiken fra før, og velger helt selv om du vil bruke regnskapsprogrammet vårt etterpå. Tjenesten koster heller ingenting ekstra. Fiken. Start din egen bedrift. Superenkelt.
You're listening to a podcast. I'm Bruce Dickinson. You're not. And you're listening to Gamal Maiden.
And what do you do today when you're going back to Britain?
When I go back...
You will soon be like 77 years or... No, 67 years?
This year I'm 67 years old in July.
So are you like retired or what do you do now?
No, you only retire when you're dead.
Yeah, I agree to that.
But I also do festivals. In the summer, I do a thing called the 80s Rewind Festival, basically we do Scotland. We do a place called Scone Palace, and we're there for 7 nights, and then we go from there. We have 7 days off, and we go to a place near Manchester, which is a stately home. And it has a natural amphitheatre, and we do 7 nights there.
Okay.
And then from there, we have 7 days off, and then we go to a place called Henley-upon-Thames, which is very, very rich. George Clooney lives there, so, you know, it's money. And then after that, I go home, and I work for a thing called Respite, which is basically for people who live at home, with or a home with their family or carers, and when they need a break, they come and stay with not at my house but a bungalow. Mm-hmm. And we have 5 rooms and we look after them. We do all their personal care, their medication, we do their laundry and washing.
Wow.
We feed them, and and I do shift work, so I either do 8 till 3 in the morning. No, not 8 till 3 in the morning. 8 till 3 in the afternoon, or it will be 3 till 10, and it changes. It's only part time. It's only 24 to 27 hours a month. So yes, that's what I do.
That's the best life ever. applause for this guy. He's doing the best job for other people. And I also heard you've done lighting for like the Buckingham Palace or something, and statues and stuff.
Yeah, I used to do a place called the Hampton Court Palace Festival, and it was a 3-week festival. And basically, I don't know if you know where Hampton Court is, but it's beautiful. It's where Henry VIII used to live. And basically, I would light up the moat, all different colours. And then in the main court, base court, there would be a stage. And I would light up all the columns. And then on the roof of that courtyard, we would light up all the chimneys. Then we went into the next court for a doorway. And that was called Clock Court. Same thing. We would light up all the columns and everything. Then you went for a passageway into the next courtyard, and this was called Fountain Court, which was huge. And it was big square of all columns. I would light up all the columns and the inside. Then it went through to the other side of the palace, and we would light up this wall, all with the lights all going up. Then all the way to the end, which is called Long Water, which is where the River Thames comes in. We would light up all the trees and the palms and everything there. Yeah,
That's a huge job. And of course, they call a guy named Dave Lights when they need a job done
with
that.
Lights. Yeah, and there was over 500 different lights that I used to put up.
Oh my
God. With not on my own, obviously.
But
with a crew of stage hands.
Yeah, and you're the expert. So. So I almost forgot. Every guest has to pick one song from the Maiden catalog that's near your heart, like today or
Phantom of the Opera.
Phantom. That's the quickest reaction ever. You just said Phantom and then the room exploded here. Why that song?
Because it is so changeable. It has got so many changes in it.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
And you didn't like rock music, so that
song... No, I hated it.
Do you remember when they made it? Like, because the world heard it in 1980, but did they make it like before that?
They did it at the Vicarage. They did Phantom of the Opera at the Vicarage.
Inside your...
when I used to have to listen to it. Yeah. Oh, fucking hell, here we go again.
Did Steve... have to rehearse very much on the bass in the beginning.
Two times a week they would rehearse.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Two times a week.
Yeah, and I would charge them. I would charge them £8, because I needed money to whatever.
Yeah.
But they didn't know that I was getting the electricity for free because I went into the electric box and changed it, so it was free electricity coming. I didn't tell them that.
Oh, this is crazy sitting here talking to Dave Lights. I really need to go to the toilet soon, but before that, and before listening to the amazing bands tonight, Audrey Horn and Maidenheads, I have to ask you, what's the best thing you can remember or from those years with Maiden for you?
The best thing? God.
The best memories, like what was the best thing? Being in that washing machine, or what you could call it.
People want me to say, oh, it was when we were in LA, or it was when we did this, or we did that. It was actually when we were in Poland, when the wall was still up, we were invited in, and we had some time off. And basically, Steve and the band went to play football because you know he loves football.
Yeah.
And six or eight of us decided we want to go to Auschwitz because we couldn't understand why all those people got on those trains.
Mm-hmm.
So we went to Auschwitz to find that out. So that is it's not the memory people want to hear, but that's the memory that I have, the most important memory. Yes.
Wow. That's your best.
You're not crying.
No, but looking back on those years, all the partying, all the acid and everything.
Yeah.
Auschwitz, that's your best.
Yeah,
that's the best day in...
That's the memory, yes. And I also remember we came out... you have to excuse me.
No problem.
I remember we came out after we'd done it and we had our bus and there was these little children. And I got on the bus because we took our own catering. and I got them Coca-Colas. I think there were six of them, six little children. Mm. And I gave them to them. They were, oh. And so I opened one and he went, got really sad. And I was like, why is he so sad? And the interpreter said, well, he's going to sell it.
Okay.
To make some money. So I was like, so I went and got another can for him. But then there was also a young girl there, and I had a Levi jacket and a Levi jeans on. Basically, when I came out of Poland, I came out with just the clothes I had on because I gave away everything, all my T-shirts, all my jeans, everything I had.
And you're still doing that. I met Leif, a local guy. He said that you wanted to give him your crew T-shirt from Book of Souls.
Yes,
tour.
Yes, I gave it to him. Yeah, yeah, yeah. There he is, yeah.
We can't, of course.
But I didn't do the Book of Souls. The lighting company that I work for did the Book of Souls.
Yeah.
They sent the stuff back to England, and my friend in England said, you deserve this, so you can have it.
So you got
and
one.
I've had it in my drawer for 10 years, so I gave it to wherever he's sitting. There he is, this there guy is. Here. I gave it to him.
Leif Neverdal, mine damer og herrer. Oh my God, I can't comprehend what I'm doing right now, but that's so beautiful that I think we'll have to stop there in this beautiful moment.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
It's been a pleasure and an honor having you. I hope you had a good time.
Oh, fantastic.
Before, yeah.
Rock on, everybody.
Yeah. Woo! Dave Lights.
Gammal Maiden med Torkel Torsvik. En podcast fra Radio Rock.
And I will be signing autographs later, okay?
Du har hørt en podcast fra Podplay. En enklere måte å høre podcast på. Last ned appen Podplay, eller se podplay.no.
Nyttårssalget I gang hos Dressmann. Nå får du opp til 70% rabatt på et stort utvalg skjorter, gensere, bukser og mye, mye mer. Opp til 70% rabatt ved kjøp av to eller flere varer. Salget finner du I butikk og på dressmann.com.